So this is actually the fourth week of our series, The Hope of Christmas. We finally got to Christmas. And I wanted to give you, kind of catch you up to speed, if this is your first week here. And you might remember a few weeks ago, I reminded you of the Cinderella story. Many of you are familiar with this story. Searching throughout the kingdom, who fits this glass slipper, right? And so we've been doing that in a sense through December. Who fits the great glass slipper? There's all these promises that are made. And who's going to be the hero that's going to rescue us, that's going to fulfill all these things, right? And so we've looked at person after person. We start with Adam. You got to start at the beginning, right? And Adam, yeah, he's not the guy, right? He failed. And then, but God made a promise to him. In Genesis 3:15, it said that a child from Eve would crush the head of the serpent. Right? This is a great promise. Some hero is going to destroy Satan. And then the serpent is going to bite that man on the heel. And so this promise. And so then things go downhill, remember? And just spiraling down until you get to the days of Noah. And everyone, they were always doing evil. All the time. And it was a dark time, not a time you would have wanted to live. And so then God sent Noah. All right, we got a big hero. Is the slipper going to fit him? And God gives him a command. Build this big boat, this big ark. Plenty of room for people and animals. And he preaches righteousness. How many get on? 8. All right, so probably not our big hero to rescue humanity from Satan. And so everyone else is wiped away. And then God makes a promise to Noah. Remember, with a rainbow, he puts his bow in the clouds and says, I will never again destroy the whole earth. Right? And so how in the world is God going to fulfill that promise to never destroy the whole earth? What if things just spiral down again? What guarantees this? And so then we get up to Abraham. Remember Abraham? He's out in the night sky, and God says, I'm going to give you as many descendants as the stars in the sky. All right, now we're really getting some anticipation. Is Abraham going to be our man? No. He fails as well. Right, and then we got to remember last week, Brandon, he talked to us about King David. Right, and King David, he's a man's man. He killed animals with his bare hands. He killed, remember Goliath? Yeah, he killed him too. Maybe he would be the one, if anyone could kill the serpent. Nope. Big fail. Adultery and murder. He's not our man either. But then God promises to him. Remember this verse we read last week said this. God said to David, and your house and your kingdom, in your house, your lineage and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. Forever? That's what he said. What a great promise. So somehow the line of David would go on forever. His kingdom. I mean, anticipation is climactic here. And so then we come to this encounter of likely an old man and a tiny baby. This we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 2. So if you're there in Luke chapter 2, we're going to begin with verse 25. Please give your attention to God's perfect word. Beginning in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. That completes our reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your perfect word. Thank you for recording this story, this little piece of history, that we could read it now some 2,000 years later for our good. May you make it good for us. Lord, that we would wait with hope for your return of Christ. We pray in your name, Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to divide our time into three pieces this morning. The waiting is over. So we're going to start. Then secondly, the arms of Simeon holding God. And then third, the promises fulfilled. We'll begin with that first one. The waiting is over. Look at verse 25 again. What do we learn about this man, Simeon? It says, now there was a man in Jerusalem, all right, we know where he is, whose name is Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. All right, we know his character. He's righteous and devout. We know the Holy Spirit is upon him. And that's about it. We don't really know a lot about this guy. This is his only appearance in Scripture. But it says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation means comfort. In this context, it's so they're in captivity or they're under Roman rule. And so the kind of comfort they're looking for is a Savior. So this is a messianic or looking for the Messiah kind of thing. He's waiting for the Messiah. So here he is waiting for the Messiah. But you see, it wasn't just Simeon who was waiting. Waiting's hard, isn't it? Do you like waiting? I don't like waiting. So much of the Christian life is waiting, isn't it? I mean, God has made promises and we're waiting. We're waiting for him to fulfill them. He said he's going to come back and he's not here right now. He said he's going to take care of us. Did he not say, I will never leave you or forsake you? Have you ever had a time in your life when your circumstances were terrible and you didn't feel like that? And so it took faith for you to say, I don't see with my eyes the promises you said, but I believe them in my heart. You see, that's what Simeon had to do, right? He couldn't see it. God had said, you're going to meet the Messiah. But he hadn't yet. He had to wait. And we don't know how long between those two. So much of the Christian life is like that. But it wasn't just him. There were other faith-filled Jews who've been waiting for hundreds, even thousands of years. So let's take a step back and let me get you from David up to here. Right? So after David, he was great, did some good things. There's peace in the kingdom. After him, some good kings, mostly bad kings. They're just going to plummet down until finally God kicks them out of the land. They're now in captivity. This isn't looking good. This isn't how you build an empire, is it? Right? So then they're now all in captivity. Things get worse and worse. So there's prophets. At least we have the word of the Lord. God sends prophets and they say, there will be a Messiah. Hope in God. It's going to be okay. Right? Yeah, I'm going to look after you even though I've kicked you out of the land. Right? That's good. We have prophets. Then finally, the prophets stop. No more prophets. No more word from the Lord. Silence is awkward, isn't it? That was maybe 20 seconds. Try 400 years. 400 years. There was not any word from the Lord. 400 years. I mean, if you don't get a text back in 4 minutes, you think something's wrong. 4 days? You think they hate you. They don't. They probably just forgot about you. Right? 4 months? You think they're really dead. 400. The United States of America is not even 400 years old. 400 years. Generation after generation. You know what? There were prophets. God appeared to our fathers. Believe it. We've never even heard. We've never seen a prophet. Generation after generation is like this. For 400 years. And you get to Simeon. And he's been promised. You will meet the Messiah. Eye to eye, you're going to see him. And he has faith. He believes God. It's wild. It's wild. That's what went on between David and Simeon. 400 years. Oh, that God would give us faith like that. How long has it been since Jesus was here? 2,000 years. 2,000 years. He said before he left, he said, be ready. I could come like a thief in the night. Just always be ready. It's hard. Isn't it hard? Isn't it hard to still be like that? To still be ready? Jesus is coming back. We're so easily distracted, whether it's by gadgets or screens or a really busy life or running kids here or there. And so it's just easy to forget. Jesus is coming back. And so we have Simeon as this great example. He was waiting. I don't know if you like to people watch. You've ever been waiting on a spouse and you're just watching people go by, imagining stories for them. I think Simeon people watch. Right? He had this promise. Is that the Messiah? He looks pretty strong. Didn't he ever win the temple? Said, oh, look. Ma'am, can I see your baby? He's so cute. He's thinking, is that the Messiah? We don't know how long this has been going on. But finally we see that the waiting is over. Right, look there. His long day of waiting is over. And all of you probably did the same thing yesterday. you celebrate Christmas and you open gifts. It was a great time. Last year, I thought of a little object lesson for my kids. And so we had opened all the presents. You know how it is, the big pile of paper everywhere, the gifts everywhere. And I said, guys, we missed Mom's biggest gift. Can you find it for us? It's under the tree. So all the kids go look under the tree. And like, there's no gifts, Dad. Come on. No, really, it's there. Just keep looking. So they look. They're all scurrying around. Really, I keep looking. It's there. So finally, one of the kids finds this crumpled up piece of paper. They unfold it, and it's a check for $1 million that I wrote my wife. We still have that check. I'm not telling you where it is. I don't want you to cash it. So, it can be that way. That we are so distracted with all these little trivial things that we see, and they're bigger than a balled up check. And so the thing of a Messiah who was once here and is coming back really falls away from our mind. But it didn't for Simeon. So we're back to Simeon. To our second point, the arms of Simeon holding God. Now that sounds weird. Look at verse 27. And he, being Simeon, came in the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. Look at verse 28. He took him in his arms and blessed God and said, we'll just pause there for a second. Now I thought about, there's a great person who's sitting right there, and I even thought about maybe I could hold Dawson and show him to you. He's about probably the age of Jesus, but you wouldn't listen to me. You look at that cute baby. So just imagine him holding Dawson. All right, this newborn baby. And this is what Simeon was doing, right? Whether he's holding him like this, whether we had a debate in our family how he's holding him, all right? And then look at verse 29. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For your eyes have seen your salvation, God's salvation. He's looking eye to eye with this newborn baby. He's saying, my eyes have seen your salvation. Is that not amazing? He's looking at a newborn baby and he's saying, I've seen the salvation of Israel. You know, someone who is going to crush the head of the serpent, someone who's going to do something greater than Noah, who's going to have more descendants than Abraham, who's going to be greater than that warrior David. And I'm holding him in my arms. Isn't that amazing? I mean, this is a human holding a human. I mean, I just want you to sink in the reality of this. A real man was holding a real baby, except that baby was God. He was holding God in his arms. It was Jesus. Isn't that amazing? To Ben Simeon. And then he says, also in verse 29, he says, I can depart in peace. I can die in peace. I'm ready to go. I've seen the Savior. And we don't even know how old Simeon was. We guess he's old, but he could have been any age, right? We don't know. I mean, can you be ready to die at any age? Kids, teenagers, can you be ready to die? I mean, we all, if you're young, you're thinking, I got so many years, I'm not even thinking about death. That's way, 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 way. I'm just thinking about college or the next thing or my first job or all those things, right? At any age, we can be ready to die. If we have seen the Savior, I don't mean see him face to face like that, like Simeon did. I mean to see him by faith. That you would know that Jesus lived and that he's your Savior. You can depart in peace. Our third point is this. The promises fulfilled. Verse 30. For my eyes have seen your salvation. I love that. 31. That you have prepared in the presence of all people. Wait a second. Is this not a Jewish book? I mean, who wrote this book? Mainly Jews. For the Jews. Are you Jewish? Most of you aren't. What are you doing with this book? Did you know that in the first century, there was a big fight to get this book into your hands? What? We're going to show it to the Gentiles? They're pagans. They're outsiders. They're foreigners. We've just had it in America so long, you just kind of assume that, of course, we get it. Isn't this native to us? No, it's not native to you. It's from Israel. It's a Jewish thing. But what does Simeon say? He says, in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to who? The Gentiles. That's you. The non-Jews. For the glory of your people Israel. And for the glory of people. So both for the Jews and the Gentiles. He said it way back to Abraham. He's been hinting at it all through the Bible. They just didn't get it. Right? They're back to Abraham. He said, you will be a blessing to how many nations? All the nations. Kings will come from you. There's this idea of this global picture. It's Abraham. Over and over, you look in the Psalms, look in the prophets. There's this global idea. And the Jews just missed it. Now, if you're new to Christianity, this probably all sounds quite strange to you. What's all this stuff going on and what's it about? Let me explain. We looked at this several weeks ago. If you weren't here, let me tell you about it. If you were, I'll remind you. We're talking about the covenant of works. God made it with Adam. He said, look, it's real simple. You can eat from any of these trees. Don't eat from that one. If you do, it's treason and you will die. Okay? Not okay. Very simple. Covenant of works. You obey and you live. You commit treason and you die. It's a covenant of works. So we start through history. No one's lived up to this. Everyone is born in sin and just sins and sins and sins. Right? We all commit treason. We've done it all our lives. Everyone does. And so someone needed to fulfill this covenant of works. And so that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to fulfill the covenant of works. Let me share with you just one command. Jesus said it's the greatest one, so let's look at it. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your souls and all of your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. How's it going for you? Just that one command. Just all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and you love your neighbor as yourself. I love God with some of my heart, some of the time. The rest of the time, I love myself. Are you any different? The covenant of works is actually a very tall order, isn't it? To love the Lord with all of our heart. And Jesus did that. Jesus, from the day he was born, through his whole life, he never sinned. He never was selfish. He never put himself before someone else. I do it all the time. I know you do too. Jesus never did. That perfect life was the hope of Christmas. Do you remember Cinderella's slipper? Hey, we got somebody that finally fits. He's the one to crush Satan. He's the one to bring in a greater boat, right? This, remember Noah? He nailed beams of wood together to save people. Jesus was nailed to beams of wood to save us all. You remember Abraham? Supposed to have lots of descendants. He had one child of promise. Jesus had no kids of his own, but through salvation, as many as the stars in the sky. He's a greater king than David. David killed some animals. He never defeated death. Jesus did that. Jesus defeated death for you, because you can't. You are under a death penalty that you cannot pay apart from Jesus. Jesus came, lived perfectly, and died so that we don't have to. And then we can be ready to die, just like Simeon. Right, he had seen Jesus. How much he understood, we don't know. But he was ready to die. Are you ready to die? The only way you can be is in Christ, if you know Christ. Christ is your hope, the hope of Christmas. That's what we've been looking at it. The reason we did this series for the past month is, one, I want you to realize there's one story of the Bible. Right, it started in Genesis and it just carries right through. We've gotten to the New Testament. Right, don't you see the connections? How there was a problem, and then it just kept getting bigger and bigger, and God kept promising more and more and more. And the problems got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then finally, Jesus comes to fulfill the promises and to solve our problem. So that God really can fulfill. He wanted to destroy the earth with a flood. He's redeeming it by Christ. He's redeeming it by Christ. Remember, we looked at Galatians 3:29. It said, if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Well, for all you non-Jews, welcome to the family. You're now the children of Abraham. You know, God had, when he was looking at that sky, what God had in his mind, I don't know what Abraham was thinking, but God was picturing people, not just olive-skinned Jews, but pasty Caucasians. Praise God. Some dark-skinned Africans and some Asians singing praise to God in Mandarin Chinese. You see, that was the sky that God pictured. But not everyone is there. Not all those stars have been led, right? God, through history, has been patient because he is redeeming a people for himself. He's not done. He's not done in Cane Bay. And so that's why we're here. We're here because there are people that are stars that he intends to save that have no clue. We have seats for them. They're sitting at home, asleep. How are they going to get here? How are they going to get here? It's going to be through us. We're going to be friends with them. We're going to have barbecues with them. And one day, they will come to know that they were actually a child of Abraham. They don't even know who Abraham is, half of them. They're a child of Abraham. And they too will be one of the stars that Abraham saw that night. I'm so thankful as we celebrate and we remember Christmas that God sent Christ to fulfill all those promises that he could be my Savior. Is he your Savior? I hope he is. And I'm counting on him being the Savior of a whole lot of people in Cane Bay that just don't know it yet. May we, like Simeon, wait patiently, because he will return. He's delaying so that others can be saved. Let us be about that work. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for Simeon's faith. Lord, we thank you. And beyond all reason, he was waiting for the Messiah. You had promised that he would see face to face. And he did. He held that baby and he said, I've seen your salvation, Father. Lord, I pray that you would give us faith like that to wait. It's been 2,000 years since anyone has laid eyes on you face to face. We know you're coming back. We believe it because you said so. But Lord, there are many who would be crushed right now, who would fall into your wrath, have to pay for their own sins if you came back tomorrow. Lord, I pray that we as a church could be about this work, that others would come to know you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Lord, we delight to worship you now in song. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.